chemicals that are carcinogens and how careless it was done at that time. And so you did publish quite a few papers during your industrial period.
Yes, not so many, but I wanted to do some work besides all this daily work which I had to do some research. And so we picked up as a subject a synthesis of Sinhona alkaloids like quinine and similar things. And at that time the constitution of quinine was known, but not the configuration, and there was no synthesis of quinine itself, only of dihydroquinine. But the starting material was not easily available, so we wanted to eradicate malaria. What we wanted, mm-hmm. We wanted to do something socially relevant.
Yes, yes.
It was necessary to find a new cheap method which can be done on big, which can be used on big scale to produce one of the half of the quinine or the corresponding other alkaloids. Mm-hmm. And we spent several years on that problem. We didn't solve it completely, but only partially. I continued with that when I left Prague. At a certain moment, I found that I want badly to have an academic position. And then from my country, from Yugoslavia, from the University of Zagreb, I got an offer. I really was appointed what they called a university docent, and that was a position with the duties of a full professor and with the salary of the poorly paid assistant, which I didn't know, I didn't realize that, but I accepted the position and I moved from Prague to Zagreb, to the university, when I spent 5 years continuing really the work I started already in Prague. With a few young people, I was able to organize a laboratory, and with the help of a small financial factory, oh, we did quite well for the time being, until the 1941, when Yugoslavia was occupied by German army. So I found that I will get into troubles and that I have to emigrate, and I could do it more or less in a relatively simply, because I got an invitation by Professor Richard Kuhn from Germany. He was the at that time president of the German Chemical Society, and mm-hmm. he invited me to come to Germany mm-hmm. to give talks about mm-hmm. my work.
Yes.
With this invitation, I visited German occupation general of the German occupation army, which was in charge of Zagreb, and he gave an order to the independent state of Croatia to issue me 2 passports, and my predecessor here, Professor Ružička, who was my former countryman, mm-hmm. Invited me to visit him in Switzerland, and mm-hmm. with his invitation I got a Swiss visa. And so I came legally in Switzerland without any heroic attempts to climb mountains,
yes,
and to be refused by uh-huh. The frontiers.
Yes, yes.
And I got I came here, I would say, at the right time. Professor Ruchka had a number of older co-workers and mm-hmm. assistants who were emigrants in Switzerland and who didn't feel safe in Switzerland, and emigrated. Most of them left for the United States in time, in just about a few weeks or 1 week yes. even before I arrived.
I see. So there were a lot of vacancies here.
Was a lot of vacancies for an older chemist, mm-hmm. And so I started here as a student. Became then the so-called private docent, and then I went through all stages of academic hierarchy. I was a titular professor, which means with a title but without a salary.
Oh.
Then I became an associate professor,
yes.
a personal mm-hmm. full professor, mm-hmm. and later I succeeded Ruzicka as the chairman of the organic chemistry laboratory, and I retired in 1976. That was my career here, and now I'm a student again.
Well, you moved up very fast the ladder.
Yes, but that is only just a summary of my career in Zurich.
Yes,
that means
yes.
I arrived here and I was then just a co-worker of Professor Ruzicka.
And then you moved up.
And then
very
I was
quickly.
Assistant also yes. here, and then I moved slowly.
Yeah, but within just a few years.
Climbing the hierarchical ladder.
Yes, of course. You were in Switzerland before once, weren't you?
I was about four months as a kind of postdoc. I was never before in a big laboratory.
Yes.
So in 1937, where I collected some money from my cooperation with the small industry in Zagreb, I used this money to spend here 4 months in the laboratory of Professor Ruzicka. So Ruzicka knew me.
I see. Well,
so he knew that perhaps I shall be a good co-worker, and
yes.
that more or less facilitated my emigration to Switzerland.
That proved to be very advantageous. So you came to the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, and what did you find here? I mean, I know it was very peaceful in Switzerland during the war, so everybody who came in from war-torn countries found it very peaceful. How was the working climate?
It was very good. You know, we had our, especially our house. They were mostly Swiss here. We didn't have practically foreigners. At that time, the Swiss had to do their military service on the frontiers.
Yes.
But just because of that, they were very eager also to work hard, you know. They spent always a part of time doing military service and coming back and working on their PhD thesis. Mm-hmm. I think the atmosphere was very good. We were cut off from the world chemical literature. We got only very seldom a number of a Journal of American Chemical Society. Even from Germany, the mail didn't function well. Sometimes the journals were very often lost. But we could concentrate and work on problems where we didn't have to read so much, but to work hard. Mm-hmm. And so it was altogether pleasant, of course. We were never sure that the German will not occupy Switzerland.
Yes, I remember
there were certain
that.
Situations
yes.
in which situation was very hot.
Yes.
But compared, when you were once already occupied by Germans, so it was not so bad.
You were not too
I was
afraid
not,
that
I was
they
not
would,
afraid.
That
I
they would invade Switzerland.
No.
I know
I
there was a time when they everybody almost was. Debated whether they should go through
and
Switzerland
never knew
or through
because,
Holland
to attack. Hitler was more or less a madman.
Yes, of course. One.
You couldn't depend that he will make a rational decision. He could make a completely irrational decision.
Yes, that was true. You had your own journal then here. Did that just get started, the Helvetica Chimica Acta, or was that in existence?
Helvetica Chimica Acta started after the First World War.
Oh, I see. So that was not the impetus to start
the journal.
We had
our own journal. We could publish,
yes. and
publish quickly.
Most of it right here.
We published
in
everything
Helvetica.
In Helvetica. During that time when
yes.
I was here.
Yes.
I published before in Czech or even in German journals, in Berichte und Berichte der Deutschen Chemischen Gesellschaft in Annalen, but it was much nicer to publish it in Helvetica. So practically everything I did at that time, and later, only occasionally I published in foreign journals. We published most of our experimental work in Helvetica Chimica Acta. That was a tradition, and that made Helvetica Chimica Acta a respectable journal.
Yes,
that
yes.
A number of very good chemists like Karrer, Ružička, Reichstein, and many others published all their important work in Helvetica Chimica Acta, especially the Helvetica were famous because of the work on natural products.
Natural products, yes.
Which was here the main topics in which was.
Were you on the editorial board? Or
no, I was never on the editorial
not
board
on the
of Helvetica
Chimica
Acta. I was for some time a member of the committee of the Swiss Chemical Society, and I was for 2 years also president of the Chemical Society. But I was not on the a member of the board.
So
I wouldn't be also good because I am not a great linguist and so on. And I think it was wise not to appoint me in the editorial board. By the way, at that time, the Helvetica Chimica Acta were more or less edited by the chief editor, and the editorial board had only very little function, just in some dubious cases to strengthen, so to say, the chief editor in his decision.
I see. And the chief editor was
the
was
chief
here.
Editor was first Professor Fichter in Basel for many years, and he was succeeded by Professor Cherbuliez in Geneva.
Professor Cherbuliez in Geneva? Was he a chemist?
He was a chemist.
I see.
Professor of organic chemistry in Geneva. And he was an extreme. Both of these editors were very competent.
Yes.
And so we were famous. We could publish very quickly because
it was a weekly.
Our papers were not refereed. Only in the case of doubt.
I see.
But
I
because
see.
Everybody
knew
everybody.
Knew everybody,
him,
yes.
So everybody was responsible for himself.
I see.
So it was easy to publish rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I think also the journal had a certain standard.
So the Swiss Chemical Society played a large role, or was it, were most chemists members, or?
Yeah, I think everybody who was working in research, either in academia or in industry, was a member
of the Swiss Chemical Society.
It was not a professional society, it was purely scientific society.
I see.
It remained scientific society until now.
It still is not a professional society. Yes.
It doesn't care about salaries status of chemists and their
not
employment.
Not like the American Chemical Society.
Or German Chemical Society.
Or
now even English Chemical Society.
I see.
Which is Royal Chemical Society.
I see. when you started your work here, you were right again with natural products. I guess under the influence of Professor Ruzicka, Leopold Ruzicka. Did you work
when I came
directly
here,
with him?
We of course discussed what I shall do.
Yes.
So there was here a, I would say, an area which was abandoned by this chemist who left Switzerland.
I must tell
you that some of these chemists became later very famous in the United States. Huh?
Could you name them?
Yes, of course. One of them was Dr. Sternbach, who was a Polish Jew, and who, as you know, is discoverer of Librium and Valium, which changed in some ways the medicine of chemistry.
Yes. That's in Nutley. He
was with Hoffmann La Roche. He was more or less, when he left, he was already employed by Hoffmann La Roche. Mm-hmm. And so in Nutley he discovered then Librium and Valium. And that changed very much the medicine of chemistry.
Yes, indeed.
The second one, which was... Here was Dr. Rosenkranz, who became later the president of the Syntex Company in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And he made Syntex a worldwide known company. They were responsible for the pill to a great extent. And so on. So
I never realized that the pill came from Mexico.
You see, in Mexico they had these steroids, which are starting material for preparing pill at that time. Mm-hmm. So it was just the right place to develop that.
Yes.
They were not the only people, but they were, at the end, practically the most important people.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the product, the commercial name?
I don't know.
You don't know.
They changed all the time this name because the pill didn't develop at once.
So
I had first, Ruzicka at that time bought a large amount of organ extracts from the United States, from large quantities of lipoids from organs. And he hoped that by a modern method it will be possible to isolate some new hormones or some new compounds with high biological activity. And this work remained here, and I had to continue in cooperation with Ruzicka on one side. And on the other side, he said, you could do any work on natural product or any other work you want, but you have to continue that. So I had to, and you will get few co-workers. So perhaps you yourself should work on organ extracts, and your co-workers will work, for example, on alkaloid chemistry. I was still interested in. From the very beginning, I was interested in exciting structures of alkaloids. At that time, they were very unusual. Today, this is not anymore. So all these structures seemed to us very common. But at that time, they looked very exciting and unusual compared with other natural products. So I worked on organ extracts, and at the same time I worked on alkaloids.
Was it?
These few co-workers, which were more or less given to me
given
by Ruzicka,
assigned
to me by Ruzicka.
So then you published a few papers on...
With Ruzicka, on organ extracts.
We
were disappointed by this work on organ extracts.
In
spite of hard work... On hard work, we didn't find anything really spectacular.
And you got only small amounts, I suppose.
Yes, and there was nothing very new. The only thing we really discovered were a mask orders from testes of balls. And that's an interesting story. I already have forgotten that that I myself, with my own hands, isolated these compounds. And then they became in some way famous. They are sex attractants for swine. So they are used in animal husbandry.
Yes.
On one side. It's also another discovery is very interesting. Do you say truffles?
Truffles. Yes.
They are detected by swine. They are under the soil.
Yes.
And
yes.
They use swine to find them.
Yes.
And that's because they contain this compound, this musk-smelling steroid, androstenol. So they are really searching for this sex attractant. And
to get
that's
their food.
One point. And then they claim that also that attracts also females. And they are sold.
That's why it's used. A lot of perfumes contain musk oil. Right.
Yeah.
It was a big ado about musk oil for a few years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, but that was really a very small discovery. I mention it only because we at that time didn't have the slightest idea. We didn't find that we are very attractive to ladies when we work.
I didn't think so. I have to tell you, I worked next to a student. It must have been one of your students, and he worked with musk day in, day out, and I couldn't stand the smell anymore.
Everything around
him smelled of musk.
Yeah, but it is
it
so that you know that is really the. It must be extremely diluted.
Yes, I know that.
And immediately,
otherwise
when you
offensive.
Otherwise it is,
it was
it
awful.
Is rather irritating.
It was awful. But he must have worked for you. So you stayed really with natural.
Yes, and then we started to work on alkaloids. We continued a little work on configuration of cinchona alkaloids. Then we started to work on strychnine, and we corrected Robinson's strychnine formula wrongly.
Wrongly?
That means we showed that the Robinson's formula is wrong.
Yes.
But we didn't ourselves propose a good formula. But that slowly then we continued. Professor Woodworth also came into the picture. And finally the formula of strychnine was perfect.
Elucidated
completely. Yes. And that was at that time a relatively great achievement.
It was heroic, as you say.
With chemical methods, it was not so easy to determine a structure of such polycyclic alkaloids.
Yes, I understand.
And it was considered. We really worked on it because we didn't have any other alkaloids at our disposition, and I found in our store a bottle with 5 kilo of strychnine. So somebody bought, I don't know for what purposes.
Rat poison or?
Or whatever it was. So I then read about 140 papers by Loix in Germany, in Berlin, about 50 papers by Sir Robert Robinson, 50 papers by Sir Robert Robinson, about 30 papers by Heinrich Wieland. We didn't have any other literature to read, so it was possible at that time to spend quite a lot of time in library reading old papers. And then we were very lucky by our first experiments. We found that it is something wrong with Robinson's formula, which was considered to be correct for a dozen of years. And that made us in some way famous, because Robinson was considered at that time perhaps the best chemist of the world, and that we could more or less find a mistake or something wrong with his formula.
What was wrong with his formula?
You know, the size of the rings was not so easily. So he had a six-membered ring.
He put
on the place of a six-membered ring a five-membered ring.
I see.
So that was our first discovery, that this ring can't be a five-membered ring.
Well, you already had a lot of experience with polycyclic
compounds.
You synthesized adamantane?
Yes.
Constitution also of adamantane.
No. Constitution was... We synthesized. We had the first synthesis of adamantane, which was also a proof of constitution. Because... Of course, the constitution of adamantane was known, but it was more or less a matter of intuition, and it was not proven. It was also an X-ray, but at that time it was the Bayer-Scherer X-ray diagram, which didn't prove really the position of atoms. It showed only that the proposed formula was compatible. With the X-rays.
Was it two-dimensional then?
Lukács really was the first man who proposed the right formula, but more or less intuitively, because of the crystals of adamantane, which were tetrahedral. It was a hydrocarbon C10 hydrocarbon, C10H16, with a melting point of about 280 degrees, which is quite unusual for such a small molecule. It's only possible because it is almost perfectly spherical and fits very well the lattice, the crystal lattice.
Yes.
That was one point, and the other point was the tetrahedral crystal form. And from that, by intuition, he said that can be only such a highly symmetrical hydrocarbon. But then, of course, they made so-called powder diagram. It means you don't get the positions of the individual atoms in the lattice. For that you need to have something more. And that was, of course, compatible. It had to be compatible with this formula if it was right. But our synthesis was the structure proof, synthetic structure proof of the correctness of adamantane formula. We did only two papers on all that. But at that time, it made some impression on our...
Yeah, that was before you came to Zurich. That was in 1941.
That was already in Zagreb. It?
In Zagreb. Could you tell me a little bit about Woodward? You mentioned published several papers with him, and
Woodward came here first time in 1948. I would say he was supported by the so-called Swiss American Foundation, which was founded by the American branches of Swiss firms. At the beginning, after the war, it was little contact, not so much contact between Swiss and American chemists. And to promote this contact, they sent every year fellows here, and one of these first fellows was Professor Woodward, who was at that time not accepted by American chemical establishment from different reasons. And so he came here and...
Do you know the reasons?
Yes, but I don't want to talk. Woodward was very young.
How young was he?
Well, at that time, I would have to calculate, 1748, that was 31 years. Old,
yes.
But he had some conflict with the people, the older people, especially among the American chemists, because he was very self-confident, if not arrogant. He knew that he knows much more chemistry than these people, and so on, and he irritated them. Mm-hmm. Some of them, of course, recognized him, but the others just thought that his personal properties are not, that he's not a pleasant fellow. And Ružička, my predecessor, who was at that time Nobel Prize winner, accepted him fully. He recognized that he is a really great man, and and of course I accepted him immediately, and so we became very good friends already during his first stay here in Switzerland, and this friendship remained until his premature death. He was 62 few years ago.
Was he here 1 year? Or?
No. He was here only for a lecture
for a short time, about a few days.
Only a few days. But during these few days, he was already at Harvard.
Yes.
But he was, I think, at that time only associate professor. He became then soon promoted. And we really thought that he would be a very good addition to our staff.
Did you offer him?
He considered it very strongly, but then he became so famous and.